Welcome to Private Club Radio, your weekly source for industry education, news and discussion. Broadcasting from Tampa, Florida, ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Gabriel Aloisi.
It's a new year and welcome to 2018. I'm excited for this year. I don't know about you, but welcome to Private Club Radio. I have a year's worth of awesomeness to bring you here in 2018, and it's going to get bigger and better than ever, this show. This show is going to be pretty cool. Today's episode, we're going to be chatting with Henry Wallmeyer of the National Club Association to recap what happened in 2017 legislatively, both at the federal and state level, and also to figure out what's happening here in 2018, some of the issues that they're working on, as well as some updates on their national conference, which is going to be an event that you will not want to miss. Last year, it got sold out. It sold out far in advance, actually, so do not wait. Make sure you get registered for that conference ASAP. We're also going to be talking with Gary Collins, partner at Master Club Advisors, to look into Gary's crystal ball and see what he thinks is going to happen in the world of golf and private clubs in 2018 as well. So I always love prediction type shows, and that's what you're going to get this week on Private Club Radio. Now, I wanted to check in with you to see if you have set your 2018 resolutions. I know I have set mine, and so often we make these resolutions and we work on them for a couple of weeks, and then we get busy and something happens and life happens, and all of a sudden we forgot what we started and we lost track and it's too much to get started on it again, and yada yada yada. We make all kinds of excuses for ourselves and we ended up just not really making that change. So I want to offer you a very special service that will make sure that you stick to your goals and stick to your commitments. I am going to pair up people in this industry, people who I think are like-minded, and actually create an accountability buddy system so that you'll have a buddy out there. Might be on the other side of the country, might be just the state over from you or the city over from you, but people who I think would really challenge you and hold you to your commitments. If you want to get involved in that program, there is absolutely no cost. It's just a service that I want to do for my loyal listeners like you. Shoot me an email to gabe@privateclubagency.com. Let me know what your commitment is, what you're committing to in 2018, what your goals are, and I will pair you up with somebody who can hold you to those commitments, because I've seen it happen in my own business, in my own life, where when I had an accountability partner, I did not want to let that person down, and I got what I needed to get done and get it accomplished because I didn't want to let myself down, didn't want to let them down. And if you really want to play big, you can put up some collateral, maybe something that you'll give up if you don't make that commitment. So for instance, I love beer. Maybe I'll give up beer or wine or something like that for 30 days if I don't reach my goal or that commitment for the month. You can have some fun with it. But if you want to get involved in that, if you want to have someone who will hold you accountable, shoot me an email, gabe@privateclubagency.com, with those goals and commitments, and I'll get you paired up. All right. It's time to bring on Henry Wallmeyer, president and CEO of the National Club Association.
And now, it's time for Club Perspectives, presented by the National Club Association.
Welcome to another edition of Club Perspectives, brought to you by the National Club Association. Today, I'm joined by Henry Wallmeyer, President and CEO of the NCA. Henry, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Gabe. Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, happy holidays to you. First thing I want to talk about is 2017 was really a wild ride politically. So I'd love to hear about what happened in terms of 2017 with the NCA.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think wild ride might be a little too tame for what went on here in Washington, D.C. It was definitely a year that we were anticipating tremendously because of the election of President Trump and someone who is very familiar with our industry. The first time ever President of the United States has been an owner of private clubs. And so we looked at that as a great opportunity for us to be able to advocate on behalf of our members and make it a better environment in which clubs could operate. And it was interesting because, right after the election and then, around the inauguration, I was getting a lot of phone calls from reporters wondering what we thought that President Trump would be doing in terms of, any of his, legislation he was going to propose or push or any of his executive orders or anything that would be beneficial to the private club industry specifically. And we always said that, he wasn't going to be doing anything specific for the private club industry, but he would be doing things that are going to be beneficial for, businesses and especially small businesses. And that's what private clubs are. And so, we were looking for something that was going to be beneficial to clubs, though not directly because of President Trump. And what we did see was a lot of great regulatory reform in this 2017, in his first year in office. Whether it's the executive order that said for every new regulation that was implemented, two had to be taken off the books. Again, just to make it, more clean in terms of what people needed to follow as they were, operating their businesses or in our case, their clubs. Also, things such as the Department of Overtime or Department of Labor's overtime rule. That was stopped by a court last November, but with this administration officially removed the rule because it was still on the books, and so that rule has been removed. And this was the one that was going to, make it, increase what that overtime rate was going to be, and who got paid overtime for the different positions that they had. And so thankfully that was taken back. And then we are now working with the Department of Labor and submitted comments on, what we think that new rule should be. Because before it was going to be basically a 100% increase in terms of the exemption level for overtime. And thankfully it's not. So it's going to be maybe about a 25% increase on that. Other things such as, National Labor Relations Board, the joint employer rule was overturned, that way, clubs could have been implicated in situations where an independent contractor coming on property did something wrong. The club would have been seen as that joint employer and been liable as well. But thankfully, that rule was overturned. And now for a club to have any type of culpability, they must be a direct and immediate control over that that employee. And so that's something that's been good for clubs. And just a couple other things, such as, Waters of the U.S. rule. Again, that was something that was stopped by a court at the end of 2016. In 2017, the Trump administration, officially rescinded that rule. And this was a rule that was going to, just completely broaden the definition of what was protected water under the Clean Water Act, but also didn't really give it a great definition. So there's a lot of confusion as to what was protected or not. And so we're looking for a new rule to come out in 2018. And again, we've submitted comments on what we think it should be. But mostly what we're looking for here is just clarity on what can, what is protected and what is not, because that was the main thing that was wrong with the previous one, was there was just nothing that really clubs could understand, what is or what is not protected in that that water of the U.S. rule. And then, another thing, such as independent contractor, classification. The Obama administration had an economic realities test that they put forth that said, okay, well, you need to meet all of these things in order to be considered an independent contractor. And the Trump administration has gone through and said that, okay, well, we're going to withdraw those guidelines and they're not going to enforce, those, which is good. However, there still could be some issues with lawsuits or states, that look at those guidelines in terms of, whether somebody is an independent contractor or an employee or not. And see, that mostly speaks to caddies, at clubs. And actually, we're going to have a lot of information on that in our winter issue of Club Director Magazine. That's going to be coming out, later this month. That should really shed some light on, what clubs should and should not be doing with regard to classification of independent contractors, and also offer suggestions of how they can best protect themselves on that. So we did see a lot of good positive things coming out of the regulatory side of the government. On the other side, the legislative side, we didn't see as many things come out, and obviously that's what more people saw in terms of just the divisiveness between the Republicans and Democrats, and basically nothing was going to be getting done because nobody wanted to work with the other side. And so on the legislative side, there was the try to fix healthcare, the Affordable Care Act. As you know, that did not happen. We're back to where we, have been in terms of, some confusion around that, like, who is a full-time employee, the number of hours that they, work that considers them a full-time employee or not with regard to the healthcare law and some of the other things. We're going to still try to work on some fixes, to the Affordable Care Act. I just don't know how much of an appetite that Congress is going to have for that in 2018, since that issue did go down in 17. But we did see some positive things come out with regard to the H-2B visa program. And this is the program that allows, temporary foreign workers to come in for, a 3 or 4 or 5 month stint, and then, head back home. And a lot of seasonal, businesses use these in hospitality, especially clubs. And they did increase the cap. Right now, the cap is at 66,000 of those individuals who can come in. That cap was increased. And now we're looking at trying to do something in the fiscal year 18 funding bill that would exempt any worker who is coming back into the U.S., called the Returning Workers Exemption. So, in theory, if all 66,000 of those workers came back, then they would be exempt. So then you could bring in another 66,000. So basically you would be able to double the number of those H-2B visa individuals who come into the country. So so that was a one positive thing. And then obviously, we ended the year with tax reform. Not a lot in the tax reform bill, if anything, really affected clubs themselves. There's a lot that affected the members of clubs and businesses that that serve clubs, but specifically to clubs, there wasn't a whole lot in there that that affected that. So we saw a lot of, like you said, a lot of excitement in 2017. It was a wild ride. We saw some good things on the regulatory front happening. Some things on the legislative side, not as much as we would have liked, but we're looking forward to 2018 and seeing what we can do there.
Yeah. Well, if folks want to get involved in some of these issues and really learn more, it's important that they reach out to you and join the Club PAC. Can you talk to folks a little bit about what Club PAC is and how they can get involved, Henry?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks. Club PAC is our political action committee. And the political action committee enables an organization like the National Club Association to support candidates, in their, election or reelection bids, and to support those candidates that support our issues. And, here in DC, in order to have a strong voice, you've got to be able to, provide that support, to these candidates. And, with a strong Club PAC, it enables us to get our name out there and for people to understand, who we are and what we do as an association and who we represent and why we're advocating, on behalf of private clubs. And so, we have had very good success growing our PAC the last couple of years. We put a lot of emphasis on that. And even in 2017, I think we had about $30,000 donated to our political action committee from, individuals, whether it be managers at clubs or board members of clubs, and through that, we were able to, again, support candidates and, show them that, we like the fact that they are supporting our issues. And we're looking forward to doing even more with Club PAC in 2018, with it being an election year, because that's when you got all of the House and a third of the Senate who is going to be looking for people to be able to support them in their fights. And it's just a real good way for us to be able to, really be a stronger advocate for the private club industry is through our PAC.
That's fantastic. That's awesome, Henry. Now, let's talk about, we talked about federal, so let's go ahead and talk about the initiatives you guys are doing on the state level.
Absolutely. And this is where we've actually probably seen a little more activity than on the federal level, especially in New York and in Maryland. You know, both states are looking at potential changes to the way that, you know, property taxes for clubs are assessed. In New York, we think it is a, you know, a straight shot at the president, because of the, you know, the clubs that he owns in New York. And so they're, you know, going to be introducing a bill that is going to, take away their, you know, ability, you know, to provide or to have grievances against, you know, what a club's assessed for its property tax value. And so, you know, we've worked with the New York State Club Association with them to hire a lobbyist who's going to be working up in Albany, you know, on this issue to make sure that the clubs, you know, aren't adversely affected by this. You know, we just want to again make sure that they're paying their fair share. And they're not, you know, being overly penalized, you know, because someone in the New York State Legislature isn't a fan of the president, and so they're trying to get back at him through, you know, some of his properties in New York State, and then in Maryland, we're seeing where a county, one specific county, Montgomery County, which does have about 12 to 15 private clubs in the county, you know, is looking to take away. You know, tax incentives that that clubs have, whereas, you know, they are assessed less amount if they promise, you know, not to sell their club and not to develop the land, you know, for 5 years. And this provides, you know, the county with, you know, control over, you know, sprawl and crawl because it is a suburb right outside of Washington, D.C., you know, and provides for open green space. But, you know, a legislator is looking at that and saying, well, if these clubs, you know, should be paying more, then we would be getting more money in. But unfortunately, you know, these clubs could be taxed a tremendous amount more, which might end up, you know, some of them having to shut their doors or then sell, which would defeat the purpose of this incentive. And so, again, we worked with a consortium of clubs in Maryland, specifically Montgomery County, and, you know, working with them and hired a lobbyist that can work that state level issue specifically. So it's not something that's adversely affecting the clubs. And that's what I'm, you know, very excited about is, you know, we've always been a strong presence here in Washington, D.C. And on the federal level. But now we're able to do more and looking to do more on the state level because that's really where we see things that are affecting clubs specifically.
Yeah, that's super exciting, Henry. I can't wait to see what happens on the state level with you guys. Now, let's we talked about 2017, so let's turn our attention to 2018. So let's talk about the national conference that's coming up and some of the other things you have happening in 2018.
Yeah, absolutely. Our national club conference is going to be in Los Angeles, April 16th to the 18th in 2018. We're very excited about that. Coming off the heels of our 2017 conference, which was up in New York. And I know that you were there and did some great interviews, you know, with some of the speakers and some of the attendees. And I mean, that was just a tremendous, you know, conference for us. It was our largest attended, you know, and it was highlighted by speakers such as Eric Trump and Reese Jones and, you know, also George Bodenheimer, you know, from ESPN, the former head of ESPN, yeah, who you might have seen is now back in that position again as the head of ESPN resigned. And so George has taken that position again. And so it's great to be able to hear from him and now see him back in the role of head of ESPN. And so, you know, building off of that great conference, we're going to be out in LA. We're going to absolutely be at some iconic clubs, including the California Club for an opening reception. We're going to be at the Jonathan Beach Club for our big reception and dinner. You know, we're going to be at the Millennial Biltmore Hotel, which is just a great, great space out there. But one of the cool, new, interesting things that we're doing is we're going to be doing what's called our Board Appreciation Dinner. And that's going to be at the Academy of Magical Arts, also known as the Magic Castle, which is a private club in LA for magicians. And it's really, really great. And so we're going to do a dinner there. And it's going to be an opportunity for people to see magic and be engaged in a couple of different magic shows, and to see this truly, you know, unique and iconic club that's out there. And you know, we've got great you know, speakers lined up, including Peter Ueberroth, you know, former commissioner of Major League Baseball and the head of the 1984 Olympics. We've got Chip Brewer, the president and CEO of Callaway, who's going to be speaking, and a couple other, as they say, you know, Hollywood A-listers that we're waiting to get confirmation on. But I think it's just going to be a very unique event that's going to be very, you know, centric to Los Angeles, and people are going to really be able to experience, you know, what's happening out there. And then also there's going to be a, you know, a movie screening at a private theater, and a tour of real, you know, Realty 3D Studios, which is the big production company that does all the 3D movies. And so it's definitely going to have that that Los Angeles flair to it. And we're looking forward to that. And, you know, stay tuned for more announcements of the speakers that we do have once we get those confirmed.
Wow. That's I don't know how you're going to be able to pack that into 3 days in Los Angeles.
And so, yeah. And then, so, you know, along with obviously a conference, I know we're looking forward to continuing with, you know, our great publications, you know, Club Trends, that, we'll continue to put out, that we do with McMahon Group. Also our club director, you know, that we're going to be, you know, continue to do. We've got another publication coming on board, with, that we're doing with Club Benchmarking. That's really going to take a look at, you know, at the data, you know, at clubs, and how boards, you know, can use data to make good governance decisions. And so we're very excited about that. They are, you know, a corporate partner of ours, and looking forward to you know, releasing that first publication in 2018. We'll also be announcing about four other new corporate partners in 2018 that I think will really, you know, help the association, but help the industry as we continue to grow and build, you know, on our, you know, what we've done, but more so, you know, what else can we do to really, you know, make sure that we're the strongest advocate for private clubs and providing the types of trends and insights that they're looking for. But, you know, also, you know, just as importantly, making sure that we've got that governance information that, you know, managers can use with their boards of directors so that they are running their club as efficiently as possible and doing the right things that that a board of directors should be doing.
Yes, and I invite people to check out all that the NCAA has to offer by visiting their website, nationalclub.org. Henry, thank you so much for joining me today on this edition of Club Perspectives, and can't wait to talk to you again here in the new year.
Great. Thank you so much, Gabe, and all the best to you in 2018.
To learn more about the National Club Association, please visit nationalclub.org.
There's scarcely a nicer guy in this industry than Henry Wallmeyer, and a more genuine person. So always awesome to talk with Henry. And our next guest probably gives Henry a run for his money in terms of being just a wonderful, nice guy. And that's Gary Collins of Master Club Advisors. Here's this month's masterclass.
And now it's time for your monthly masterclass presented by Master Club Advisors.
Welcome to another edition of Masterclass presented by Master Club Advisors. Today, my guest is Gary Collins, partner at Master Club Advisors. Gary, how are you today?
I am spectacular, my friend. It's the holiday season, and everything is beautiful here in South Florida. And I want to say a happy holidays and a healthy, prosperous new year to you and all your listeners. You know, it's a big time of year in the club business. It's a very busy time for us, but it's also a time to reflect on the year and think about all the connections we have, and all of us who work in the club industry, you know, share a bond that it's nice to be able to say happy holidays and have a good season too.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And we're coming into 2018 here, just around the corner. It happens quick, doesn't it? And why don't you give us some predictions that you have coming up here in the new year?
Well, you know, my crystal ball sometimes misses, as all those forecasters say. But I do think we're some of the trends we've been seeing over the last few years are going to only amplify and become even more focused. As you know, we do a number of seminars, and in our seminars this year, we had a really interesting speaker, a Dr. Roger Landry, and he's of Masterpiece Living. He was the physician for the astronauts. This guy's unbelievably knowledge about human health. And his whole thing is the new health industry is longevity. I mean, we're just all living longer and we want to live well. And he has, it's an amusing title, but I love the title. The title of his new book is Live Long, Die Short. And it's really interesting when you look at what he's doing. We have this thing where we know we're extending to 94, 95, whatever it is. But if the last 10 years are in decline and miserable, it's not good. So we want to stay healthy for longer. And many of the ways that he talks about staying healthier, of course, it's about fitness, but it isn't going to the gym every day kind of fitness. It's, you know, but the really huge portion of it is emotional connections. People who are happy and emotionally connected just live longer and live better. And I think we in the club industry really serve this market. We help people make emotional connections. And particularly here in Florida, where we're dealing with a graying and aging population, I think this longevity is going to have major impacts on the club business, already has and will continue to do so. And trying to make the club be responsive to helping the people live longer and better. Have you seen any of Dr. Landry's stuff, or did I talk to you something about this earlier when we did our seminars?
Yeah, no, I haven't actually seen any of his stuff yet, but it's definitely interesting.
It is interesting, and I do see clubs filling just a huge role in this because we do help people make emotional connections and live longer. And of course, all the population demographics of the graying of America is affecting clubs. I mean, households are no longer the husband-wife couple that was very much the standard country club set is changing. One in four households are living single. Wow. And as you know, and this has been a trend for a number of years, but I think it's going to be even more powerful going forward is the women in the market. Women are making the decisions, not only the younger women when it comes to selecting places for the kids. All the family activities in clubs and all the appeal that we do for families and for women, including some we're going to talk about in a minute in golf, which have already been trends for the last 2 years, are going to be even more dramatically impacted in 2018. I know you've talked about some of this stuff before. Do you, in your marketing role, do you see the women making more decisions about which club to belong to?
I think that's a guarantee for sure. They're the ones controlling the pocketbook, I should say, nowadays, right?
No question. We've all learned yes, dear, is the right answer to all questions. If she's happy, we're happy. But it is absolutely. And people think of it as, and listen, this is dramatically affecting clubs here and trends. Older women living single because their husbands have passed earlier in some of our older clubs. And those people are really going to have to be addressed and their needs are going to have to be addressed. And many clubs are doing that. But it's not just that group. Even the very young group that are still in the work world, the wives are making more of the decisions because it affects the family. So I think that, and in golf, we're going to see this too. We'll talk about it in a minute. But the fastest growing demographic in golf is women. And when we talk about health and fitness and family and women, it leads into a whole nother thing at F&B. I mean, healthier menu choices have been around for a while. I think I'm being somewhat repetitive with what we've seen in previous years, but I think we're seeing these trends get even stronger and more focused. We're going to see, we've seen for the two or three years, fine casual. People don't want to dress up as much anymore, but they still really want elegant, nice food. Right. So in food and beverage, we're going to continue to see the trend of fine casual growing and taking a larger and larger role. But health and fitness are playing a much larger role in everybody's life, as we talked about earlier with the longevity. But it isn't just the longevity, it's all that health and fitness issues. We're going to see more in menu transparency. People really want to understand what they're eating, not just the calorie count, that stuff's been around forever. But people really want to know, you know, what is the fish? If we're making butternut squash, it better be butternut. If we're making organic butternut squash, it better be organic butternut squash, not pumpkins or some other product that we see there. Mm-hmm. Menu transparency and health are going to be huge in food and beverage. Already have been, and it's going to continue to be more so. I think another interesting thing we're going to see that maybe has a profit center potential for clubs is high-end non-alcoholic drinks. You know, we're seeing, the drink choices today have gone beyond soda and water and tea.
Right.
I mean, you know, we've got lemon ginger fizzes and hibiscus. And I think for the non-alcoholic drinkers, we in the club business, the cocktail business is way better than the food business for us.
Sure.
And we haven't really offered as many choices as we could or should to the non-alcoholic drinkers. If we get some really interesting, fun choices, things you can't get at home, if we're really making exotic, fun drinks that are non-alcoholic, but still different and interesting, I think they can be a that can be a better source of revenue for our F&B department.
I haven't heard that one yet, so that interests me a lot, Gary. That's really cool. How about in terms of golf? What sort of things do you see happening in 2018 in terms of golf?
Well, you know, I love golf. One of my passions, and you and I have talked about it often, but I think we're seeing real changes in the golf industry. We're seeing more short courses. We're seeing more jams of scoring tees or more forward tees. People are playing not 18 hole rounds and even not nine. We're seeing people play 6 hole rounds. Time is of the essence. Time is so precious and so short today. Another trend we've been fighting for years. All these devices that were going to make us more productive have tied us all up so much that it seems like we have less and less free time. And golf is time consuming. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the major trends we're going to see in golf is the ability to play less than an 18 hole round and still have it be fun and be able to participate. We're going to see short courses, and we're going to see even 6 hole rounds less than 9 hole rounds. You listen, get on with your kids in the afternoon and play 3 holes. It's late in the day. You know, you had to work late. You still got an hour of daylight. I think we're going to see the 3 hole play and the 6 hole play. And we've been seeing for a number of years, you know, the practice facilities have dramatically improved at clubs around the country. Yep. You know, short game areas, sand bunker work, the practice facilities are a major attraction. And it's because of time. Listen, if you look at Topgolf, have you seen these Topgolf facilities?
Yeah, we have one not too far from me.
Oh, yeah. We had a family party there last year. Half of the group was non-golfers. People were laughing and giggling and hitting those balls with chips in them and trying to bounce them into lights and fun. I think that's the thing we're going to really talk about in golf in 2018. Golf has got to be fun. And what's happening at Topgolf, we need to transport that to the course in some fashion. Obviously, we're not going to build facilities with balls with chips in them, but think about the experience that you have at Topgolf. You're having fun. You're hanging out with your friends. It doesn't necessarily take 5 hours, although at Topgolf, you can spend 5 hours there if you want to.
Yeah, right.
I think we're going to see more of those kinds of trends on the golf course. You know, shorter, more fun. Making practice areas fun, and we're going to, you know, playing music at practice areas. We're seeing things that were taboo years ago. I mean, we're seeing rock and roll on the practice range,
right?
And I think we're going to see more of that. The practice range, due to the shortage of time, is the learning facility. I think we're changing the names. You know, is going to become a more fun place, a place just to hang out, you know, with your friends, to do something after work when you don't have time to play 18 holes. Yeah. I think, and listen, big picture, you know, clubs who would struggle through the downturn, the recession of the real estate, they're upswing again. They're upswing again. I think 2018 is going to be a great year to be in the club business. And I think you're going to see clubs being very responsive to all the changes we talked about.
Yeah, I think you're right on. And actually, I think Topgolf is partnering with Club Corp, some of their properties, to put in a Topgolf type system experience at their clubs. So I think you're right on there for sure. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I did not know that. But listen, brilliant move on their part, I think.
Yep, totally.
We've got to put the fun back in golf. For those of us that play and love it, it's always fun. I mean, I have so much fun in golf. I find it hard to believe that other people sometimes think it's not fun. But when you look at NGF studies about people coming to the National Golf Foundation studies, about people coming to the game, one of the things that younger people said over and over was, it just didn't seem like fun. And it is. We just got to help them find that fun and put the fun back in it. And of course, part of that is we're going to see a more relaxed dress code. We've seen a more relaxed dress code in the club for years now, and it continues to get more. We're still a little bit careful on the golf course, you know, the old school collared shirt and many other things. But I think that stuff is fading. We are going to see more relaxed dress codes, not only in the club, but on the golf course as well.
Yep. I think you're right on there. In fact, we had the editor of Women in Golf magazine about 2 months ago who came on, and she talked about that same subject too. So that I think all your predictions, I feel, are definitely coming true, Gary. I'd love to talk to you about some upcoming searches you have and see if maybe some of the potential candidates may be listening here on our show. Can you give us an outline of some of those searches you're conducting?
Yeah, you know, we've got a really great search going for Champion Hills in North Carolina. This is a great Fazio course. I mean, it's just an absolutely fabulous course, and it's going to be a great job for somebody. The GM position there, I mean, I think most of your listeners will be familiar with Fazio as a golf course architect and will be familiar with Champion Hills. I mean, it's just a great course, and anybody that's interested in the position should call me, 561-261-3554. It's in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and it's a great GM COO job. Mm-hmm. In addition, we have a GM COO search going for Santa Monica Beach, for the Beach Club in Santa Monica, California. I mean, this is one of those truly different clubs. I mean, it's on the beach. They play volleyball. They're surfing. You know, it's all about fine food and fun and pools and a relaxed environment. But it is a great club. Greg Patterson was there for a number of years, has retired. This is going to be a fabulous job. So anybody interested in Santa Monica, the Beach Club in Santa Monica, or Champion Hills in Hendersonville, North Carolina, should definitely give us a call. Two great jobs. Okay. I'm also doing a CFO search, a chief financial officer search for Frenchman's Creek. Frenchman's Creek is a Platinum Club of America. It's won award after award. It's right here in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. And this is going to be one of the best CFO jobs in the country.
Wow. Well, I might have somebody for you, which I will forward along. But if any of our listeners are listening and we want to maybe apply for some of these jobs or these positions, then definitely reach right out to Gary, as he mentioned. Gary, in terms of employment, and I know you guys are starting to bring on more, you're expanding it outside of just doing general manager searches to other searches in the industry. What are some of the things that you see boards are really keying in on or really looking for out of either the general manager or some of these other positions you're looking at?
You know, every place is different, and yet it's still the same. They want people who are knowledgeable. Listen, number one, you have to have the skill set, or maybe that really is number two. But number one, you really have to have that service orientation. They want people that understand the club business, that understand what they're seeking there. Over and over, we see the same thing. Skill sets, you got to have them. You have to understand the finances. You have to understand the club business. You have to have a knowledge in all the club disciplines, whether it be food and beverage, golf shop operation, golf maintenance operations. But the thing at the end of the day is, and we're the general manager, chief operating officer has become really a true elite businessman. You have to be able to run a business. I mean, many of these clubs, we have a lot of clubs at 4 and 5 million. We have other clubs at 55 million. If you're going to run one of these large businesses today, you need to be a sharp, alert businessman. You need long range planning skills. You need interpersonal skills to work with boards and committees. I mean, it is so imperative that you have that skill set to make this work.
Yep, that's absolutely right. Gary, I always enjoy talking to you on these masterclasses. So thanks so much for joining us once again here.
Gabe, always a pleasure to talk to you. I sometimes get wound up, and I feel like in some of these trends, we're seeing somewhat repetition. Some of these have been around before, but I've been around for a while. But you're going to see them intensify and be even more of the focus in 2018. And once again, happy holidays to you. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend.
Yeah, happy holidays to you, Gary. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the year.
Yeah. Healthy, prosperous 2018 to all of us.
All right. See you, man.
To learn more about Master Club Advisors, visit them on the web at masterclubadvisors.com and join us next month for another masterclass.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this New Year's Day episode of Private Club Radio. Hope you get a little chance to relax today and just soak in all the accomplishments you had in 2017 and get those goals ready for 2018 if you haven't done that already. Just a reminder, the invitation is open. If you want to take part in our accountability program, shoot me an email, gabe@privateclubagency.com. I'll catch you back here next week. And until then, here's to your membership success.
Private Club Radio is brought to you by the Private Club Agency, the premier marketing and consulting firm dedicated to helping clubs increase and retain their membership. Visit privateclubagency.com to learn more.